This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in. Beautiful morning out there today. And a great morning to talk about doing something outside. We're going to have some master gardeners with us from the Rutherford County Master Gardeners Organization. Beth Binkley is one of the young folks with us today. Beth, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Great to have you with us. A lot of people are interested in gardens this time of year.
Oh, definitely. And I have with me Sarah Wade, also a master gardener. We're talking about fall gardening now because we're getting at the end of course summer. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking out in the lobby. That's our favorite thing.
Yes. Fall gardening is my favorite.
Now, what makes it so special?
It's easier.
Oh, God.
I've decided I'm not a good summer gardener. I forget to water. It gets too hot. You know, we all love tomatoes and those things. But for to me, the fall garden just works. You plant it once. You don't have to think about it much because the temperatures are cooler. It rains more. And then you have a harvest.
Yeah.
I just love it.
You can't beat that. Now, this is a time to redo the yards, or are we too late for that?
No, this is a great time to, if you're going to overseed those yards, get some extra aeration into the soil as well, if you're working on that lawn. And, just a great time to, before the rains come. Hopefully, we'll get some rain here in a few weeks. Yeah. This is a good time to kind of evaluate what you need to be doing for the spring coming up next year as well. And something we talk about a lot too, I know I have this, you know, every year with the leaves falling, they're telling us more and more not to rake those leaves, to leave them
really
where they fall, just for little critters, little, some of the insects, they make their homes in those leaves. Now, of course, if it's, you know, suffocating your lawn, you want to probably rake them off to the side or get them in a different area. But so that's less work for the fall.
So leave the leaves.
That's what they say.
Leave the leaves. Yes.
Very good. Hey, Bart, you need a bumper sticker.
I mulch mine up with our mower, and I use those leaves, and I call it putting my garden to bed. So on my flower beds, I use all those leaves. I just run the lawnmower over them and put them in a bag them, and then cover my plants with the mulch. I'm really good for the winter, which gives them really good. Number one, it's going to give them nutrients because as those leaves break down, you know, they're going to provide more fertilizer. Then it's going to keep them warm as well. And it's free. So go for it.
Now, if you leave the leaves on the lawn and they get a couple inches thick, won't that kill the grass?
Well, I mean, you probably don't want to keep them a couple inches thick on your yard.
Okay.
And obviously, depending on where you live, some people have HOAs where they don't allow that.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
So you have to kind of go with what you have. If you live out in the country, you can leave them on the yard and let it be fertilized. But if your HOA is going to get mad at you, then don't do that.
Yes. Okay.
Put them in the flower beds and use it as free mulch and padding for the winter.
Now, with your gardens and what have you, what about the composting? Are leaves good for composting?
Absolutely.
You need your browns, right? You need
Yes.
your browns. And grass clippings as well, and in some food scraps. I've still got my little compost circular
tumbler.
Little tumbler, back there that, again, this time of year, you're adding things all year round. Those leaves are great to go into there as well.
Now, compost, a lot of people don't do that. Tell us the benefits of it, and this is not something you just start right now. You do it all the time, don't you?
Right, ongoing process.
You can start at any time.
So many good things about composting, of course. Probably, number one, you're putting less in the landfill if you're composting what you have in your house. And then also, it's just good for your soil to have those extra nutrients, and you're not having to go out and buy those things, so you're saving money. So just a lot of different reasons to compost. Now, some people say, well, the smell. Well, again, the tumbler helps with that. I've got it kind of sitting back away from everything that you can't really smell it. I've really never smelled my compost pile, so that may be an attraction for some people that they do not want to do it. But it really just depends on, if you've got a big enough space to make a compost pile. It's a good idea, no matter what you do. Yes.
We have a text from a listener who's asking, since you have one of these composting circular drums, is that better than the composting pile? And really, what is the difference as far as ease of doing the job?
For me, it's really the mixing process. You can do the piles. You do have to mix those piles with you know, the pitchfork or something and get out there. And I guess I'm on the on the less aggressive side. I just get out there and roll it a couple of times. Yeah. So, but again, that might not always work for everyone. But yeah, you can use either way. You can go with the piles. You just have to be a little bit more focused on moving it yourself.
You know? What is it you put in the compost again? I mean, you don't just put leaves and grass. Isn't there something that creates a chemical?
It's really the heat within those compounds. You can put in food scraps.
No meat, right?
Yes, okay. Very good. And, you know, back when we had some bunnies, we would put some bunny manure in there as well, you know, and all around.
Chicken manure for your chickens.
Chicken manures, yeah. So all of that together will, of course, break down in of itself because of the heat that's produced.
Right. Uh-huh. What if you have a pet like dogs, cats? Is that manure?
They say no dog or cat manure.
Okay.
And I'm sure there's a chemical reason for that.
There's a reason why, but I forget why.
But yeah, we'll just say no on that.
Yes. Only chicken, rabbit, goat, all those are safe.
Yes.
Okay. So don't do that, but bunny manure.
Bunny, chickens.
Oh, that's going to help heat it up.
I'm trying to think. I see bunnies, but I don't know.
Well, if you raise bunnies. We had some bunnies. My husband had him as a child, so he's like, let's do it again for the boys. So we did that, and you would be surprised how much manure
they create a lot for you.
So yes, that was no problem to get as much as you wanted.
So you leave it in there, you churn it, mm-hmm. and then what do you put it on, the fresh garden or on the garden you're closing out?
Either one.
Yeah.
Either one.
A lot of people do it right before they plant.
Is it a manure?
Because it sat for a while. So you want to let it sit for a while. Otherwise, it is too hot and it will burn your plants. But mm-hmm. If you start now and you're not going to put it on your garden until spring, you'll be fine. But you also can put it on right when you plant. You can put it on now to let it seep into the soil. There really is no rules. I think a lot of times we want to do it right, and so we don't do it at all. And the reality is just get started. You can't really ruin it. It's nature, you know? Yes, don't overthink it too much.
Right, because it happens naturally, right?
Well, if you look at a forest, I learned this years ago. If you go walking in a forest, all those leaves have fallen to the ground. They're all mm-hmm. breaking down. When trees fall down and they rot, those are providing fertilizer for the next trees. You don't, mm-hmm. when, in fact, if you were to go in and clear out any downed tree, you would kill that forest from within because it needs all those breaking down nutrients. So this happens in nature all the time. You're just making it work in your yard as well.
Very definitely. So get those going and then keep them going year-round.
Year-round.
Okay. For people who are closing out their garden, putting it to bed for the year, mm-hmm. what should they be doing?
Well, again, I look out and see some of my flowers are dead and the seed pods are still out, you know, especially for like your coneflowers and things like that. But they say leave all that. I know it's tempting to want to clear it out, mm-hmm. But birds love that.
Okay.
So we need to provide some, you know, some food for them over winter. So as tempting as it is to sometimes get out there and just start ripping and cleaning and, you know, get it all, just leave as much as you can. Think about birds and other wildlife. Well, I did get rid of some of my, you know, vines and things that have been dying. And I've got a few of my tomatoes still coming in, but they're almost at the end of. So you do want to, you know, get rid of those, get those out. Some of those can go in the compost as well. So I just, it's a good time to start cleaning up and freshening up and getting ready for the winterization of things. And this is also, like Sarah said, a good time to plant those cool weather crops. Yeah.
Those are my favorite. Lettuces, I think Natalie.
Kale. I love
Natalie
kale.
Baumgartner calls mm-hmm. this lettuce season. This is a great time. Lettuce is going to go great. I just put my garlic in the ground this weekend. I love garlic and onions. This time of year, you can plant them, and they're going to grow as long as it's not freezing. And so they grow. When it gets super, super cold, so I think you're January, February for us, they pause. And then when it warms back up, they grow again. So, mm-hmm. but it adds winter color because mm-hmm. it's going to stay green all year. So my garden box, I have raised beds. They have garlic and onions?
Yes.
Onion mm-hmm. leaves all winter. So it mm-hmm. just adds some greenery, you know?
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
So you use a raised bed.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks use gardens, which are right down all on the earth itself. So why do you like the raised beds better?
For me, it's just easier. Well, number one, I have a septic system, so mm-hmm. I don't want it to be messing with the ground too. I mean, I know that the septic lines are pretty deep, but we don't want to mess with it too much. And so that was where I first started doing it. But it's just easier for me not to have to bend down so far. And then I just, you know, add to it every year. I add every spring, I add more compost on top, whether it's from what I already have made myself or I'll buy it. And to me, it's less weeding. It's not always, it's less weeding. You still have to weed because birds fly by and plant things for you, or squirrels run around and plant things for you. But it, to me, it's less work. So
here's a listener's comment from a text that we just received. And they say that they tried starting a garden last year, but there were rocks and things that were in the yard that just made it not as much fun as they remembered other places. And would the raised garden eliminate that? Are you able to choose the soil? Can you put better soil in than what we have naturally?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And with raised beds, just know on the front end it's going to cost you more, because you're going to have to buy whatever you make it out of, whether you buy the wood, or you buy it the metal one, whatever container you use for a raised bed, you're going to have to fill that with soil. And you do want to use a good soil. You don't want to pull that out from your yard. Our soil here is not the greatest naturally. So you're going to have to buy soil. So it's a lot on the front end. However, from then on, you just add to it. They call it, I think the official term is lasagna gardening, where you just add stuff on top of it. So every year you're just going to add in, you know, a little bit more soil to bring it back up to the level.
So would you be like a lasagna? I remember we tried the lasagna garden several years ago, and I think we put down newspaper and then more dirt and newspaper and got
cardboard,
it up.
Cardboard, yeah, all those things,
Tireworld.us.
WGNS, Murfreesboro. We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. Our good neighbor of the day today is Derek at Captain D's on South Church Street. He is our SRM Concrete Good Neighbor of the Day, receiving flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Hey, Jenny, good morning to you. They do a great job over there at Ryan's. If you're needing a big smile to go out to somebody that you know who maybe could need a lift, send them flowers from Ryan's Flowers Coffee and Gifts. They'll also send them coffee or all sorts of goodies that they have over there. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Our good neighbor today is Bob. No, this is the birthday winner today. Bob Hunt. Bob wins the delicious Slick Pig banana pudding. He's a lucky guy. Happy birthday to you, Bob. Welcome back. And today, as our guest, we're focusing on gardening. The master gardeners are with us, Beth Binkley and Sarah Wade. And we have plenty of questions, so if you have something that you're wanting to know about, you can text your question also to 893-1450. That's 893-1450. Here's an interesting thing. It says, is there anything we can do about sticky hackberry tree leaves and the white aphids that float off the trees?
Oh my goodness,
I wish there
right
were.
Now,
they're all over our. We have hackberries, and we are cutting the trees down this week. Yeah. We were just done with it. It's you know, all over the paint. No,
that's they really are, all you can
it's
do.
Nature,
is cut them down.
It's you know, that's just this is their time to fly out and reproduce and do what they do. It's a short season, luckily, but it is super annoying. We park in the front yard. It's so annoying.
We had a little text in our neighbors, our little cul-de-sac yesterday. He's like, what are these white things? I'm like, okay, they're aphids. Let's just moving on. They're gonna leave us pretty soon, hopefully.
Just
so
leave Mother Nature alone. Just be annoyed for a little while.
don't park anywhere near them.
Don't park anywhere near them.
Yes. That's
oh,
true.
Boy.
That's
so true. So now, you were mentioning right at the end there that we need to look at cleaning up and doing some organizing, I guess, putting things away for the winter.
Yes, and I think it's a great time to, you know, even sharpen your tools and clean those tools. You know, they tend to get a little bit, they're like mine, a little dirt on there. So just taking a little extra care to spray those off, wipe them off, and get them in good condition before you set them out for or set them back in the in the she shed or wherever you have them for the winter. And then you're ready to go the next year. I know it's a good time also, you know, for mowers and things, if you're wanting to sharpen those blades and get them all cleaned up. It's just a, you know, a nice thing to do. And you're, when you come springtime, you'll thank your past self. I'm always saying that to my boys. I'm like, think about your future self and how they'll thank you.
Oh, I like
you
know, that.
So, yeah. So that's a good thing to do.
Here's a different question for you. Can you save a bonsai tree if it's half brown?
Oh, okay.
You know, we do have a bonsai expert in our group, but it is not me.
Yes. Yeah, I really, I haven't, they haven't been my best friend either. But yeah, I would imagine, I don't know, there's probably something you can do to bring it back. And I usually say with the plant, at least, I don't know if bonsai is the same way, but, you know, I'll trim off the brown, try to get rid of as much dead material as you can. And so there's, you know, there's a little bit more chance that it'll feed those nutrients into what's already healthy. And I'm sure there's fertilizers, especially for bonsai, and just taking a little extra care towards anything that, you know, that's a house plant, that's a garden plant, that's anything. You just want to pay attention. Sometimes there's something you can do, and just simply sometimes there's not. And that's when you throw it in the compost or you get it out of there.
Yeah. So you said there's a person at the Master Gardeners who knows about bonsais. Would they be at the farmer's market?
Probably. I really don't know when he's there.
If it's
but I do know he loves bonsais.
Okay, so it's a particular... Yeah,
Justin's
Sarah knows
dad.
Justin's dad. That's
Justin's
right. Dad. So that's our coordinator's father, John.
Oh, yes.
John Stefanski. Yeah, so he's a bonsai.
We just put him out there. Sorry,
yeah,
John.
Sorry, John. We called you out. But yeah, that's what's great about Master Garden. There's somebody in there, usually, if you want to, you know...
Something.
And we have a little, you know, group chat that, like, put it out there and help me, and somebody will respond for sure. So,
well, they could call the ag sitter and talk to Justin and say, when is your dad
there you go
we have a bond.
Is Justin listening to this, because he just got really mad at Beth and Sarah?
I know a guy, he'll say, I know a guy.
But I guess bonsais are small enough that they could bring it over and
that's
say
true.
this is a precious little memory with this.
Yes, and I mean that is a whole culture, I'll tell you, the whole bonsai culture. They have shows and you know, clubs, and it is a really neat thing to get into if you're into that. So,
they are awesome. I just don't know anything about them.
Here's another person who's saying, I want to add some color to my home, to my lawn. With the fall coming in, winter around the corner, things turn sort of dark. And I love colorful plants, flowers. What is a good plant or flower to plant here as we just moved here from out of state?
Well, welcome to Tennessee, first of all.
Yes.
Fall plants, I mean, you know, things are starting to die out. You're not going to have as much color as you do in the spring and the summer. However, asters are a wonderful fall. They're native here. I just noticed this morning, I have some white ones that are in bloom. I have some purple ones. And I'm sorry, I don't know the exact variety, but pretty much any aster is going to grow really well here. I've never had a problem with them, I should say, but there are certain ones that are natives. They flower through the winter, or not through the winter, but through the fall. What else flowers?
Yeah, I'm trying to think about my
there
yard
really
right
isn't
now.
A
it's
whole
getting
lot. Yeah.
Right. I mean, my of course, I still have. Well, that's kind of late. I still have some zinnias going and some. You know, I guess some of the lavender still blooming.
Lavender.
So. It's really just that time of year. It's going to start all turning. Your leaves, your maple leaves will turn a beautiful color.
Yes.
So that's
yes,
one thing.
Are.
So you can rely on that. And ginkgo trees, you have those beautiful yellow. So it's just, you know, it's a time to kind of, you know, of course, mums are out in full force right now. If you have those, that would bring some color to your yard. You know, just kind of working with what's out there already. And it has been so warm. A lot of the, you know, I've still got my coleus and different things outside, and all my houseplants are still outside. So until that first frost, you can, you know, leave a lot of those even annuals and houseplants outside to maybe bring some color to your porch. And just kind of have to work with what you got, I guess, is more than anything.
This person says, we were out on a trip this last weekend just enjoying Tennessee, driving around. And we understand that the state has been planting wildflowers. They look like they're in hibernation, though, right now. But we did see some beautiful yellow plants in around the dark-colored plants that were on the interstate. What would those be, and is that something that would grow well in our yard, or do we even want to? Maybe it's a plant or a weed.
Maybe talking about goldenrod, maybe?
Well, there is goldenrod, but I was the daisies, they look like that. They're also in bloom, but I forget which variety they are.
Okay. Almost like a little...
A winter-type daisy?
Is well, they're really in bloom right now. I've seen them, but I don't know which variety they are. Everything is about variety. I've learned from being a master gardener. Just figuring out which variety it is.
And kind of the Latin name. Yeah, I mean,
the Latin name, which I'm not good at. But there are things that are in bloom. It shouldn't be hard to identify it. Nowadays, on our phones, you can just take a picture of it and... Really, any search engine will pop up a picture. You can do an identification, anything. Yeah. So it really makes it easier, although we can't think of it off the top of our head. So I apologize to that person that texted
that. But I love that TDOT, Tennessee Department of Transportation, they are being a little bit more, I mean, I think in other areas too, just a little more, you know, I guess, aware of planting natives and planting some, you know, beautification plants along the highways and byways. They've been doing that for years, but I think I've seen more. And then, of course, our Murfreesboro government has a huge section out at Barfield Park that's
they've really natives
and everything. Yes. So it's just great to see. And you know, when you see things like that, it's great to, you know, let your representative or let people know that work for those departments that you like that, because that's what they're doing it for, to see what the public will react. And if you encourage, you know, that, I think they would do it more. Yeah. So it's just a good thing to recognize and to, you know, to respond and encourage.
And we see green spaces all around the city of Murfreesboro. And that's the I guess, what is it, a horticultural group? They have a name, I'm sure.
Yes, I think it's through, I think it is through their Parks and Rec department.
Yeah, I think Andra, one of our master gardeners, works a lot with them too. So she's a big native expert for sure.
Yes, yes. And just encouraging that and just being more aware. It just takes, you know, just that awareness and making sure that we're being intentional, I guess, with our planting. Because a lot of times, remember kudzu? Oh my goodness. That was not a good plan. Someone said, let's bring that. So we just need to, you know, maybe research and make sure we're bringing in the right plants too when we're going to go out and try to, you know, repopulate what's been torn out with maybe with asphalt and things like that. We want to make sure we're coming in with the right stuff.
Just say this too, is that, you know, I've really tried to put more native plants into our yard. Uh-huh. And this spring and summer when I was cleaning up, I saw so many critters and I started making like a group on my phone of all these random insects that I had never seen before. It were somewhat terrifying, but they were but they were all native things coming back to the environment. They've basically been run out. So you're talking your birds, your all your little critters, your insects, they have a place. And so when you bring the native plants back, they come back. Mm-hmm. And that creates this wonderful ecosystem, what our world used to be. And so that's what we're trying to do. Anytime you can try to bring anything back. I know I have a friend who's really into birds, and she's done so many native plants and feeding them. And now she has so many birds that you're
variety.
Like, I didn't even know that was here, you know. Right. And so they will find you once you create that ecosystem.
That's really important to learn how to do that. And master gardeners are, again, a good way to learn. And they will start taking applications this month.
Yes.
I would think this month, yes.
I started to say in October, but this
is October. I did that too.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. Talk or text, whichever turns you on. Another person says, my yard is relatively new. We just moved into this lot, and it's a new subdivision. We don't have any trees. I want to start with something that will do well and not be a problem. What should that be, and is this a good time to plant them?
Yeah, we were just talking about this is the time to plant those trees. They have time to establish the roots before it gets really cold. I love a magnolia. Welcome to the South. I love a yard that has a magnolia. You know, those are going to grow really big, so you got to make sure you got space, depending on the variety.
When you say really big, how far away from the house?
Right. It depends. If you get a little gem or somebody, and there's some that are dwarfs, but if you get the regular size magnolia, you probably want it to be a good 20-30 feet from your house, because it'll get big. I love a red bud, because these are the first ones you see in the fall. Crepe myrtles do well here. What other trees do you like, Sarah?
Oh goodness.
Yeah, I'm of course tulip poplars are our state tree.
There are so many that do well, and really a lot of it comes down to your spacing. How much space do you have?
If you're wanting to create,
is there a lot of sun? Is there a lot of shade? Is there, there's just so many factors that go into that, but I promise you there is something that will work.
And more importantly, I think to have variety, you know, how we use, you see a lot of people that just use the same tree, boom, 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 boom. And I'll say the word, the dreaded word, Bradford pear, you know, something like that.
Don't plant those. We're not going to recommend Bradford pears.
We're not going to recommend those at all. But, you know, and that's the only tree they have in their neighborhood or the only tree they have in their yard. So, again, variety is the spice of life, right? And the spice of your yard. So just try to vary those. And again, we encourage the natives, native trees, if some, you know, they're going to grow better here in Middle Tennessee. So check that out from your local nurseries or we have a we're actually going on a field trip to a place that just has native trees and bushes, and it's in Fairview, Tennessee. But just check out any of your favorite places to go, nurseries, and ask for those natives.
Now, there might be one person listening who's thinking, what's wrong with Bradford pears? Our neighbors have them. We don't have them, but they do. But I hear a lot of people always saying, don't put up a Bradford pear.
You know, and
they're a very weak tree.
Yeah, weak trees.
Our spring storms, they're going to fall over. They're going to split. When they bloom, they are pretty. When they first bloom and those white blooms, they're so pretty, but they stink. They don't smell good. Then they leave the flowers fall off everywhere. They're just a pain.
There's better options. Yeah. We'll just say it like that.
There's better options.
There's better options out there. So
there you go.
That's very diplomatic, right? Yeah. Just look around.
Can you get, obviously we want to plant trees that are native of Tennessee that do well here. I understand, do they still have trees at the farmer's market? Do some of the farmers bring in trees, plants, what have you?
There are a few, yes, that sell trees and plants at the farmer's market. So yes, that's a good place to start and to look and see what they have. And of course, we are just down the road from the nursery capital of the Southeast, right?
Yes, in Bentonville.
So that's a great place to go as well. Maybe a little bit more variety.
I understand there's even a sod farm in Eagleville.
Okay, very nice. Very nice.
And I went for years trying to make my grass grow.
Okay.
And it never did. So one day I got wise and called and put down sod. The next day I had a yard.
Nice.
That's amazing. That sounds wonderful.
Magic.
To go out in your bare feet, Bart, and start walking on that. That's what I would do. It begs for that, doesn't it?
It is worth the investment because I guarantee you, in my case, I was paying ultimately more and not getting anything except mess.
So just start with a clean slate, right? You just got it, all those weeds out of there, everything, and just start with it. That's it.
And have instant yard.
Perfect. Good for you.
Is this a good time of year to put in grass, sod, or whatever you're putting in? Yes.
We really, you know, you think about November, December, you think they're cold months. But if you think about it, if you've lived here any amount of time, you know, we really don't get cold till January, February. That's our really cold months. So, and even though we're going to have a frost, probably mid-October is typical to have our first frost. Just because you've had that frost, it still stays pretty warm. The ground isn't frozen. Right. So if you really have a lot of time before you can't do anything. You're really looking at January, February.
You want to give those roots some time to establish.
They have lots of time. We get more rain. The ground is still warm enough that they can spread out. They can establish themselves before those really cold months come.
Tell you what let's do. Let's take our final break, and we will be back and get more of your questions. And if you have a question, text it to us like you've been doing. 615-893-1450. Text it now, though, because we're about to enter the final portion of the show, and I'd hate to get away without your question being answered.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com, the Good Neighbor Network.
This is Jenny at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts.
Be a part of their next flower arranging class.
If you are looking for some you time, grab some friends and sign up for a wreath or flower arranging class. It's a great way to relax, learn, and have fun. Refreshments are provided. We are open for other classes. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, 117 South Academy, just a couple blocks off the square. Plus, we offer delivery to all Rutherford County as well as surrounding counties.
Hi, this is Trevor from Bell Jewelers. It's always special to give someone a gift just randomly, something that they can remember you by. One of those gifts could be a gift that lasts forever, like a Bell Jewelers diamond. Usually they'll have that for their entire lifetime. They might reset it into a new pendant or ring, but they're still gonna have that diamond for their entire lifetime. Give a gift that keeps on giving, buy them a diamond. Nothing sparkles like a Bell Jewelers diamond. Come see us at Bell Jewelers, 821 Northwest Broad Street, across from Toots.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the mid-80s. For tonight, mostly clear, low near 58. By Friday, sunny high of 83. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from the WGNS Rutherford Weather Center. Currently, it's 68.
On air, online, and on the phone. You can listen to us anywhere. News Radio WGNS is Rutherford County's place to talk.
Welcome back. Our final segment, and our master gardeners are with us this morning. Don't you dare let them go away without answering your questions. We won't have your answer, though, unless you send us the question. You can do that now, 615-893-1450. Beth Binkley is with us, along with Sarah Wade, both master gardeners. And will both of you be at the Lane Agri Park this tomorrow's a big day, isn't
That's
it?
That's right. Tomorrow, big day.
I'm 7 not there in the tomorrow. Morning.
I'm not there either.
There will be representatives there.
There's lots of us. Trust me. There's lots of us.
Over 100 of us. So yeah. There'll be someone there manning the tables, answering your questions. And if you're, again, if you're interested in becoming a master gardener, they'll have all that information as well.
Okay. So tell us, what does it take to be a master gardener? What do you go through?
All right. There's an application, and that's your first step. And then you'll be notified that you're in the intern class, basically. And during that intern class, it lasts from basically January to May. Is that right?
Yeah, February, I think April.
April. And there's a class each week that you'll attend, usually with an outside speaker, a lecturer, usually sometimes a professor from either UT or TSU, and then they'll come and do different topics. It's been a few years since I went through. I know that time was at night when I went through. I'm not sure if they're going to have it during the day or at night this time around.
I think it was a day. I think it's still a day class, but I don't know for. Okay. I haven't heard for sure.
So that may limit
some
people. But and then you are expected to attend, some different association meetings if you'd like to, and be part of some of the projects around. You are asked to volunteer, which means get out your gloves. You're going to be weeding a little bit, everybody. Okay, that's what it means. So, yeah. So,
and you'll be doing radio shows too.
See, Sarah and I are a little more senior now.
We have beautiful demo gardens at Lane Agro Park. If you've never been there, the people that run the demo gardens, they're all volunteers. They're beautiful. They do such a good job. A lot of our interns get a lot of hours helping them out, for sure.
Yes. So you'll need some volunteer hours. And then really, basically, you know, after you go through the classes and the volunteer hours, you graduate into becoming a master gardener.
We have monthly meetings.
Yes.
Uh-huh. We always have a speaker at those meetings and take care of business.
Meetings. Yeah, that's year-round for anybody. And even as a master gardener, after you become a master gardener under the internship program, you are expected to volunteer a certain number of hours each year as well. So Sarah and I did this the state fair in August. So that's a big time. You can get volunteer hours. Of course, always working in the demo gardens.
There's so many projects.
So many projects around town. And we're also part of the conservation time that's coming up at Barfield. So you can volunteer there. So just lots of opportunities to get out in the community. That's really what master gardening is supposed to be more about than anything, is education towards the public. So it's really the front line for the UT Extension office. They send us out to do the education part. They'll answer questions as well, but we're supposed to be kind of the front line.
That's great. And so sign up now. This is the month.
This is the month. Yes.
Call the Lane Agri Park and say, put me down. What do I need to do?
They'll be happy
to
do it.
Give me the application. Yes, they'll send you the application via email.
Here's a email or text from a listener, and they're saying that they've had some problems with grass. They've had some problems with trees and things of that sort. Should I do a soil test, or is this time of the year the time to do a soil test?
You can do a soil test at any time of the year. And I would say this is actually probably a really good time, basically because the soil sensor lab is not as busy. Mm-hmm. In the spring, they deal with so many soil samples. I took a bunch of samples up there a couple years ago, and I think they had 2,000 that morning. Ooh, or something. Wow. So this is your soil isn't going to change between now and April, but the soil lab is going to be a lot busier in the spring. So this is a great time to go ahead and get that done.
And with that soil sample, they had those boxes out at the Ag Center that you'll go get. And you'll take different samples from, samples from different parts of your yard or different places you're thinking about, planting things. So, and then you'll box it up and you'll send it off and they'll send you the results. And based upon those results, you'll know, do I need to add or.
And the results will tell you.
Yes, yes, yes.
To add this much, whatever.
And how much different.
Nitrogen or phosphorus.
Right.
How much information do you get? I mean, is it a year's worth or what?
Yeah, your soil doesn't change. Like I said, it doesn't really change. I mean, if you're really working hard at it, it can, but it's not going to matter
right,
if you do it
now and
or
April, right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Or next year or whatever. It's going to, but you're going to know what your soil needs.
Yeah, you're going to be ahead of the game, right? You'll be ready to go.
They send you a printout full of numbers and then a cheat sheet on the back of how to read it.
Yeah, it's all very scientific.
Yes.
So go by the Ag Center.
Yeah.
And pick up the little box, take it home, put your soil.
And I think they're $20, I think it's $20, $25, $20 or $25 for the sample. They will drive it up to the lab for you, and then they'll email you the results. And you need to fill that box. They use every bit, is what I've
every
told.
Bit of it.
And make sure it's dry. So you want dry soil. You
don't
want
to
put
time
a bunch of mud
rains.
In there.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They're not going to like that so much.
All righty. Well, we're about out of time this morning, and I want to especially thank our two AgriSmith lawn doctors with us Master Gardener. You see, you're official
you.
Now.
Yes.
The lawn doctors from Master Gardeners, Beth Binkley and Sarah Wade. And don't forget, tomorrow is the Farmers Market, 7 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. This is the 50th anniversary year.
Yes,
so
amazing.
Exciting.
That
amazing.
Is really great.
That's amazing.
And there are classes at the beginning of the, and they're free. Everything's free.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's all service, and it's a wealth of knowledge. So just, take advantage of that as you want to grow your gardens and get out and enjoy nature.
Absolutely. And become a master gardener, too.
We would love to have you.
And you're obviously having a good time.
We have a good time.
Thank you so much, Beth Binkley and Sarah Wade, for joining us this morning. Stay with us. Much more to come right here on your Good Neighbor Station, WGNS Murfreesboro. See you tomorrow.
From the WGNSRadio.com News Center.